to sing with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to just a verse of Scripture in Proverbs to kind of get us going into this study for a little while tonight. I'm not trying to beat Brother Taylor anymore. He holds the world's record, of preaching a good sermon that absolutely said everything that needed to be said. Amen. And he did it in 30 minutes, and it makes me shamed. I'm disgraced. But anyway, praise God. Amen. I work at it. What if I didn't work at it? Amen. I guess there was about 300 people at the funeral, and when I said something about my congregation smiling when I said I'm going to be brief as I can, I think everybody got scared and a few people left. Amen. But anyway, God is good. The Lord is good. And I appreciate the Holy Spirit. I depend on Him. I lean on Him. I'm not a professional at preaching after all of these years. I do not want to become professional as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I simply want to be faithful to declare what I know and what I see in God's Word and what I have experienced from Him. I claim no special gifts. I don't claim to be anybody special, but I know someone who is very, very special. Praise God. And I just want to, how many remember Lou Stearns that came to our church a long, long time ago? He played on an acoustic guitar. He wrote a song, and one of our pastor's things, Doug had us in with my dad and Pamela and I singing a song that he actually wrote and said, not so very long ago, I was on the other side, never caring about anything, all wrapped up in foolish pride. Then Jesus came and took away all of my sin. Amen. Praise God. Well, everybody has a testimony, don't we? And everybody has battles to fight. And the Bible said that we are going to always, in this fallen world, till we get home, we're going to have adversity. In some form or another, it's going to be a constant in our life. I don't think there's been a week that there wasn't some challenge in all the time that I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's been something every week to overcome. And the Bible said and Proverbs 24:10, it just makes a little statement, but there's a lot of truth in this. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Can you say amen? Amen? If we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. And so it's real important that we understand where our real strength comes from. And we talked about that this morning, about a dependence on God and interdependence on each other. Amen. Amen. Our strength is in the Lord, not in ourself. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in our Father. Amen. And the shield of faith is not our faith built to some hyper super level. The shield of faith is faith in our God who defends us, and we depend on Him. The best explanation of the shield of faith to me is not the modern day twist on it that puts us in the driver's seat and makes us independent from God. Actually, the greatest interpretation of the shield of faith to me is when David said, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. In other words, I'm not standing out here because I have become strong. You say, well, that was old covenant. Well, we're dealing with the same God. Amen. In a different dispensation. And grace is what has changed the dispensation. But as far as faith in God, it's really in the same vein. We all need to recognize that our strength is small. Amen. And but when we look to Him, we receive grace sufficient. We receive what we need. All of it is from Him. So listen to this very carefully. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I've seen a lot of people come out of the gate and they're going to run for God. But adversity comes. Amen. It's going to happen with the Word. Amen. The Bible said when anyone hears the Word of God and doesn't understand it, said Satan cometh immediately to steal away that which was sown. Amen. And some of it fell on the highway. That was the hardened heart. And some of it fell on the stony ground. Amen. But the sun came up. This is all about adversity. When adversity comes, you find out what is really going on in your life. Adversity tells us where we really are spiritually. It's not when we're shouting and running the aisle and talking in tongues and interpreting tongues. It's when adversity comes that we get a real barometer of where we are spiritually. Can you say amen? It's how we handle it when it comes. And if we faint in that day, it doesn't matter how much we talk in tongues or how excited we get at church. Our strength, our real strength that we need is very small. Can you say amen? Now, I love what the Bible says about that. It says, to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Amen. In the Old Testament. Amen. We have to absolutely acknowledge that we don't have it in ourselves in order to receive it from him. I just don't like the slant on the gospel that makes us independent from God. Because I know it's setting the church up for failure. Because we can cruise along when everything's okay. But in the day of adversity, that's when we're going to have the genuine stuff. I've seen people when adversity comes in the form of hurts, that hurt so bad, people became bitter. And they let a root of bitterness come up inside of them and they didn't conquer it. You've all known people, and maybe you've struggled with it yourself. Amen. That they were so spiritual until they were hit with something that hurt them so bad, they became bitter, and they carried that. The bitterness broke them. They fainted under it, and it proved that all of the other stuff wasn't enough to carry them through that. Can you say amen? So I believe God wants us to really analyze where we really are now, so when the day of adversity comes, we can overcome. I want to be faithful because I can't escape these days of adversity. The Bible said the armor of God is for the evil day. Amen. It's for that day of adversity. The Bible said that our adversary, the devil, and he's serious about this, church. He means business. Who was it? Spurgeon, one of those great preachers of old. When a journalist came up to him and said, I perceive you to be a very eloquent and educated and intelligent man. How can you believe in a personal devil? And he just looked around. He didn't get into some theological debate because he knew the guy wasn't on that kind of a level. He just said, if you don't believe in him, try opposing him sometime. Can you say amen? If you don't believe he exists, just go out and try to win souls for Christ. Amen. Go out and try to be a champion for God's truth. And you'll find out not only he exists, but he will put some demon on your case. Amen. Paul was such a threat to the devil that the Bible said, and listen, Paul wore it as a badge of authority. Amen. He said there was an emissary sent from Satan to buffet me. Amen. What an honor. Everybody say, what an honor. Hallelujah. Say that again like you mean it. What an honor. He's coming anyway. We might as well to go ahead and boast in our God. Hallelujah. What an honor to be enough of a threat to the devil that he would want to bug us and bother. Oh no, he goes beyond the bugging and bothering. He wants to sift us as the wheat. Can you say amen? Amen. Peter and the rest of those apostles and those disciples were such a threat. He wanted to sift them as the wheat. And their strength had to be in knowing that God would rise up when the enemy showed up.
Amen.
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 Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Dependent on God. And when thou art converted. Amen. Because I've got see, it may knock the confidence out of you, but it doesn't knock the confidence out of him. Praise God. Amen. How many believe when Jesus prays, God listens?
Yes.
Since they're one. Hallelujah. One in purpose, one in spirit. Amen. Listen to this very carefully. And when thou art converted or become another man, strengthen who? Thy brethren. Can you say amen? Dependent on God and interdependent on one another. The strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. And the amazing thing about the strong is they are people who understand that God's strength is perfected in weakness when we look to him and we look to him alone. Adversity tells us where we really are. Not how we're used in a service or how we're used in the gifts or how we're used under the anointing. The anointing doesn't even tell you where you are. It's when trouble comes. And trouble does come in this world. You shall have tribulation, but cheer up. See, everybody gets downcast when they hear that. They don't want to hear that. But it's going to happen whether you hear it or not. Amen. Be of good cheer.
Amen.
For I have overcome the world. Amen. And if we look to him, we are going to overcome too. Listen to this very carefully. This is important. I'm going to talk about this faint-heartedness because I have been to the point of fainting many, many times. Praise God. And I'm learning that Christian victory is never having those experiences. It's having them and having God bring you through them. Amen. And being faithful. And being faithful. To be honest, there's times when I just felt like throwing in the towel. I mean, you know, just say, hey, you know, I've done this for so many years. I haven't, the visible part, I haven't seen that much fruit from the ministry. Can you say amen? I expected if I stayed in ministry this long that now I'd be the pastor of kind of a big self-sufficient church where there's so many people doing so many things and I just kind of come in, you know, and deliver the sermon and everybody is winning souls and everybody's blessing each other and you know, we're expanding and influencing and we're influential and you know, I could see myself as this gray-headed guy. One of these days I'll get like Terry and get some honor. Can you say amen? Honor the hoary head. Praise God. Amen. I'm getting there. They're there. Here and there. Amen. I can't help it. Amen, Terry. Amen. Praise God. Hey, at least we got it, right? We still got it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. But I could see myself just, you know, just going into that grand future, having this legacy of this great accomplishment and realizing that what God was. I sat with three pastors every Tuesday and we meet together. And right at the end, at Bob Evans Restaurant, right at the end of our meeting, it was beginning to be time to pray. And I remember when Abe Brown came to our church. He's with the Lord now. I think it was 88 or something like that when he went home. Remember when he preached for us? He said, God has called, and it stuck with me. And I went back and grabbed that so many times, what he said to help get myself lifted up. Amen. He said, you know, I'm in prison ministry. That's what I'm called to do. I am called to the prison ministry. And he said, you know, I'm faithful to that. And he said, no one hardly notices because a prison ministry is not something that makes big headlines. It's not something that makes you some popular preacher in demand. You're going to people behind bars. That's your calling. He said, but I'm faithful to what God called me to do. He said, Billy Graham, and God gifted me, he said, for prison ministry. That's my calling. And I win people to the Lord that will genuinely come under conviction and get saved. I win them to Christ. And he said, Billy Graham is called and equipped. How many know when God calls you to something, he equips you for that? Amen? That's why when they laid hands on Timothy, gifts were imparted along with the confirmation of his calling. Because Paul told him, listen, because he had become faint-hearted. Because of adversity. And adversity wasn't just the people coming against him. The adversity was the people leaving him for preaching the truth. Amen. I can deal with people coming against me easier than I can people leaving. Because we preach the truth. Amen. That's heart-rending. Yeah. It bothered Jesus. In fact, he turned around. And he was bothered. I would say he was miffed. Because he turned around and he said, would you leave me too? Don't sound like he was taking it all that well because people are not supposed to run from truth. Amen. We're supposed to defend truth. Listen, there's a scripture that broke Jeremiah. No wonder he was a weeping prophet. Amen. The scripture broke his heart. He said, truth has fallen in the streets. Amen. It's bad enough that truth has fallen. But on top of that, no one lays it to heart. No one seems to care, and it's easy to get that Elijah complex. I'm the only one left in Israel jealous for God. And now they're after me to kill me. He's fainted. And when we become faint-hearted, the work of God and the gifts of God and the calling of God and the purposes of God. I don't want to win this just for me. If I was in it just for me, I would have given up a long time ago. Amen, but I'm in this thing for the glory of my King. There's no glory for me in terms of, well, look around. It's not exactly like everybody's running here in droves to hear the truth. Amen. There's a church in this city running that started out, was at one time, I don't know how it is now, there's still a huge church, but at one time there was 23,000 people attending it. 23,000 people membership. And on Sunday morning they have in the strip king of Tampa to speak from the pulpit, running for public office that owns the strip clubs in Tampa, in a church, reading something from the book of Revelation that has to do with the environment and endorsing him for public office. And the same people go back to it. That's what's heartbreaking. That's what's heartbreaking. And you come out and preach the truth, and if you get 23, you say, glory, we had a good turnout this Sunday. 23,000 that will let that go on and not question it and follow blindly. Follow blindly. And meet multi-million dollar budgets. It gets tough. Sometimes I get the Elijah complex even though I preach against getting it. And I know better. Am I the only one left? It's real jealous for you. Sometimes I get the Jeremiah blues. Amen. Jeremiah says, I preach, nobody listens. Not only don't they listen, not one convert in all these years. Nobody's turning around. Nobody cares. They're about ready to go into captivity, and they would rather go listen to a false prophet than listen to the truth. Amen. I believe America's under God's curse right now in terms of chastening. You know why? Because Deuteronomy 28, as we said this morning, defines it for a nation. Amen. When God blesses a nation, he makes them the head and not the tail, makes them the lender and not the borrower. We're the opposite. Amen. Amen. We're described in the curse for not listening to God and not espousing his truth. Can you say amen? We're borrowing from many and lending to none. We're trillions of dollars in debt to China. They don't exactly, I mean, they're not an ally. But we, now, they have influence by virtue of the fact that we owe them trillions of dollars. And it's put us at a disadvantage globally. Talk about a threat to national security. Let people who don't really like us have that kind of influence and sway over us. Amen? The Middle East, we are ultra dependent on Middle Eastern oil. If gas goes to $5-6 a gallon, it will in this depressed state that we're in, it would in any time, but especially now, it would absolutely bring this nation to its knees. Because it won't be just what you pay at the gas pump. You see all those trucks going to that grocery store with groceries, bringing in those dry goods to Walmart? They're running on gasoline. And when it spikes, guess what's going to happen down at the grocery store? Amen, they're going to go up. So what's going to happen at Walmart? They're going to go up. Can you say amen? At the hardware store, they're trucking it in. They're training it. What? It's going to go up. Amen? So you're going to pay more for your gas, more for your groceries, more for your dry goods. This country can be brought to its knees, and it doesn't take much to do it. A blip, a threat of a hurricane getting close to the refineries. The oil prices shoot up. Just one event can change everything. This is a precarious economy that we're living in. And the false prophets, and they're there now. They keep crying, peace, peace. When in reality, anybody with eyes that can see and ears that can hear, the news, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Even the news. Amen. The news is sounding a warning. The secular news is sounding warnings. While the pulpit is mute and has nothing more to say than how to get a bigger house and a better car. Can you say amen? It's an incredible day to be living. So the reason I like this message is we're going to try to run down through it is because if I didn't do these things that I'm telling you about tonight, I would not be in ministry. It's not because I don't love God and want to be faithful. It's because you just get to the point that you feel like it's pointless. Can you say amen? And on top of that, Jeremiah said, there's nobody coming to God. Truth is fallen. Amen. The prophet said, and there's no one laying it to heart. And then they slap him. And I don't mean an enemy. They slap him for being so negative. They don't want to hear it. He ends up in a dungeon. He's sinking down in the mire. Many people believe it was a cistern that had a crack in it, and they just turned it in, put a great work over the top, and turned it into a place to hold prisoners. And he's down in that place. And I understand the fire, the anointing. I'm going to tell you something about the fire and the anointing. In deep discouragement, the fire alone isn't enough.
Amen.
Because Timothy was told to stir up the gift, and the word for stir up was one Greek word, and it meant to fan into flame. That meant that fire had been transmitted him, that Holy Spirit and that call, that anointing was inside of him. But when he became deeply discouraged, all of those gifts were nullified because he just couldn't see the point in carrying on and standing up. Listen, Paul had to tell him, by the way, did I tell you about, I know I did, but for the sake of the disc tonight, if we're making one, I remember getting a bad case of the blues. Anybody ever had them as a Christian? I'm not looking to see because I don't want to have to pray for someone. Listen, let me just put it this way. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire. Amen. If you've never been discouraged, then you don't live on this planet. And you don't live in one of these. This is called the human body. Amen. And don't matter how anointed it becomes, you live in a human body. Can you say amen? Amen.
Amen.
And the anointing doesn't make you superhuman.
Amen.
And the anointing doesn't make you subhuman either. You still feel. Things still hurt you and get to you. Amen. I saw a man on national television with 30,000 people in his church. And he was defending a doctrinal point because one deacon left him. And I thought, dear Lord, you talk about insecure when a man can have 30,000. If I had 30,000 people and one of them said, you know, I'm going to another church, I'd say, ta. Bye. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. Can you say amen? I mean, you know, what would it bother? You got 29,999 left. Amen? But the fact that it bothered to that degree says, boy, that's insecurity. This guy has to have everybody in the whole world hug him. No wonder the gospel is watered down. Pray for Joel. He's a nice guy. He's got a Colgate smile. Amen? Amen? Come on, he can sell toothpaste. But there's something wrong. There's something bad wrong. Can you say amen? And the church can't seem to figure it out. The Lord chastised me for not praying for him. So I don't like chastisement. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How's the Lord chastise you? Well, usually, I won't tell you. I won't tell you. I'll let you find out because it'll be different for you. Amen. But I do believe he knows how to get our attention. How about you tonight? Can you say amen? So he said, anybody that you're going to, you pray for these people. Don't just, you know, tell the truth, but don't just do it without the love of God. Pray for these people. But praying is one thing and endorsing is another. And there's things I cannot, I must not, and I will not endorse. Can you, because it's wrong. It's dead wrong. And I believe it's part of the preliminary to the forming of the world church. It's going to form. And there's going to have to be compromise in every religion for it to form. Can you say amen? But it's coming in the name of tolerance. Because and actually radical Islam is one of the things that is going to make anyone that stands up and declares something absolutely, amen, seem intolerant. That right now, they are accusing the Christian faith that stands true as being intolerant because we will not compromise on what the Scriptures teach, what our Savior taught us, and what God said is true. Amen. But thank God for those who are standing up. I know I'm not alone, but sometimes it seems that way. And it seemed that way, amen, to Elijah, amen. But you know what? God couldn't get him out of that cave by even talking to him. God had to tell him something, amen. God spoke to him, said, what are you doing here? And he knew it was God because he began to talk back to God, and he said, listen, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And look what it's got me. I'm the only one that would stand up for you, the only one jealous for you, and now they're going to kill me. And you know what God had to tell him? I've still got 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You're not the only one. I think because of the media, a lot of ministers feel like they're the only one. They feel isolated. And I believe there's a move right now. And I'm glad that I meet with three other ministers, because I told them what Abe Brown said, and it seemed to lift them up, and it lifted me up just remembering it all over again. He said, I am called to the prison ministry. God gifted me for that ministry, and I'm faithful to my calling. Billy Graham is called to world evangelism, and he has been faithful down through those many years. There's something happened. We'll talk about that later, but they're trying to kind of keep him out of the way, let the Evangelistic Association speak and do most of the speaking now, because in his old age, honey, I'm telling you, these are deceptive days. These are days like no other. These are days when we have to let the Word of God be our guide. You can't depend on any man. Amen. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? Amen. If an angel bring another gospel, or if we change our mind, if we begin to waffle on these things, don't even listen to us anymore. Amen. Truth is that important. And man can miss it. Even in his old age, after years of standing for the truth, people can veer. Abe said, I'm faithful to my calling. He's faithful to his calling. He's been around the world and won tens of thousands to Christ. I have won maybe 100 in the prison ministry at that time. He said, but when we stand before God, the reward is not going to be for who did the most, who won the most, who accomplished the most, but who was faithful to what I called them and equipped them to do. And he said, and I don't say this in pride, but he said, if I remain faithful to the end in my calling, I expect to, whether I have a lot of souls to present or a few, if I'm faithful in my calling, I expect to receive the same reward that Billy Graham gets for his calling. Because God didn't call me or equip me for world evangelism. He called and equipped me for prison ministry. Because world evangelists don't go to jails and preach. Amen. They're too busy going to the nations. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? The reward, friend, is going to be for faithfulness. How do you know? Because when a little woman took all she had and was faithful in her giving, amen, he said, she has given more than anybody here today. Amen. That's how God judges. It's not who does the most, who gives the most, but who is faithful. Everybody say faithful. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Only by the grace of God am I preaching today. Amen. Only by the mercy of God can I stand here and lift him up without bitterness in my heart today. Amen. Or brokenness in my heart today. Hallelujah. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I've discovered over and over and over, my strength is small. But to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Everybody that's into the positive confession, the most positive confession you can make is not that you got it together, you're strong, you never have problems. The most positive confession you can make is the one that Hezekiah made. You talk about a positive confession, they wouldn't even let him make it now. They've got it backwards. Anything they say, just turn it around and you'll have it right. I'm serious. I was talking to my dad last night. I said, you hear that? Turn that around and it'll be right. Amen. It's so backward. Yeah. I mean, it's so simple to get it right. How am I going to figure it out? Just turn it around. Yeah. Amen. Because they got it backward. Yeah. To them that had no might, he increases strength. No might. Mm-hmm. How many gets that? No might. When I'm weak, yeah, then am I made strong. Amen. In my weakness, when I look to him, then I can survive that adversity. But I can't survive it by coming so filled with faith and anointing and power and revelation that now I can operate independent from that absolute dependence on him. Come on. Amen. You want to hear a positive confession from Hezekiah? There's too many of them. Lord, we're going to go out there. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to take them down. They don't stand a chance. Oh. We have no might. Everybody say positive confession. We have no power to go out against this great army. But our eyes are on you. Somebody say, God is always and will always be the object of true faith. Woo! Somebody say that again. God has always been and will always be the object of true faith. Can you say, man? We have no might. We have no power. But we're not without help. And the situation is not hopeless. Our eyes are on thee. And the moment he said that, a prophet stood up. Woo! And said, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. For the battle is no longer yours. The battle is the Lord's. Can you say amen? What a confession of faith. I don't have to make a radio broadcast till Tuesday. I'm going to use it up tonight. Hallelujah. Is that what the Bible says? To them that hath no might, that's who I strengthen. Does it carry over to the new covenant? When I'm weak, then am I made strong. He said the things that I'm complaining about, I'm going to take pleasure in. Whoa, Lord have mercy. Count it all joy. You want some tough stuff that'll have to, you want to have to nail the flesh to the cross? Take some of these things home with you. Count it all joy. Amen. Count it as joy. It may not seem joyous, and it doesn't, believe me, but count it as joy. Amen. When you fall into many kinds of temptations, that involves temptations of the flesh, that involves persecutions to make you discouraged. It involves both of those areas of temptation. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, amen, is going to work patience. Let patience have her perfect work. In other words, let that trial break you down to where you have to look to God with everything that's in you for everything that you need. Let it get all the self-sufficiency out of you. Can you say amen? Well, Brother Bimble, I just don't want to go through that. Well, I'm sorry. Amen. God wants you to develop in patience. Amen. And tribulation is what he uses to develop you. And he doesn't have to send anything. All he has to do is just let you walk it out down here in this fallen world. Because in this world, this is an incubator for patience. Can you say amen? Come on, this fallen world incubates us. The heat is, believe me, the heat is on. Phelpsis, anguish, pressure. Sometimes I get happy in a service and I try to lighten it up with a little bit of humor. If I didn't, I couldn't stand it myself. Amen. The reason I can lighten it up is because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded, not that I can make it, but that he's able to keep what I've committed to him. Face object is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amazing day we're living in. If I didn't know him personally, I'd have a hard time trying to figure him out in this day. Because now I'm supposed to be God. Oh yes, they make no bones about it. Amen. We're supposed to control. See, God, they even said God is kind of emasculated now. He's impotent. He sits up there and says, I can't do anything. I can't do anything unless you guys do something down there. Baloney. 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 Give me some whole wheat bread, some cheese, and some mustard and mayonnaise. Come on, we might as well make sandwiches and get something out of this baloney. Can you say me? Because that's all you're going to get out of it. Amen. God is waiting. One guy said, I asked God for a I think it was a car. And he was saying, Lord, I need a vehicle. I need a vehicle. I need an automobile. I need wheels. And he said, heaven was brass. And he said, I was praying like that. And the Lord said, Lord, why didn't you answer me? You know, I need this to carry the gospel. Mine's wore out. He said, you didn't tell me what kind and what color. What a doofus they make God out to be. Can you say, man? In other words, I've got to create that car with my words. Because if my words don't take on creative power, to where I am a creator, I'm a little God, and my words create. You know, I wish these guys would create their own wealth.
Amen.
And save all that money for the mailing list. Amen. And quit sending that. You know where it comes? Well, I'm getting mail forwarded to me from someone else, from Floyd that passed away. And when that mail comes in, I don't even open it. One time I opened it at Easter because I wanted to see what they're talking about at Easter. I expected something about the resurrection of Jesus, and sure enough, I was not disappointed this time. It said Jesus sowed his life as a seed. And I thought, here it comes. They can't quit. They can't quit. They can't quit even to celebrate the resurrection. Yes, he sowed his life as a seed. What's that got to do with the check to you?
Right.
Amen. What he bought on Calvary after he sowed his life as a seed is not for sale.
Right.
At any price.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy it if you were a billionaire.
Right.
Amen. Because we were not redeemed with something as corruptible as silver and gold.
Right.
Can you say amen? After the tradition of your fathers. Amen. We were redeemed with something beyond silver, beyond gold. Hallelujah. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I was healed by his stripes. I can't buy that with a check to a rich man. I wouldn't want to stand in the shoes of someone that is implying or even being completely implicit that if you want your family saved, what he did on the cross through his agony and suffering requires a financial gift from you. It's not that we shouldn't support ministry. We shouldn't give that others know Christ. But you can't buy the salvation of your family. You can't bribe God into saving them. Amen. Mashallah, but find that scripture in the Bible anywhere. It's not there. This is a biblically illiterate generation. And it's scary because that's the only compass we've got. The only reason you know what I'm preaching is to compare it with that word right there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have no ministerial heroes. For a while I did until they all crumbled before me. And I'm saying, Lord, it's you. He said, that's right. It's always been me. Praise God. There's never been anyone out there that's supposed to be put on a pedestal as flawless.
Amen.
And when it comes to doctrine, there's no one. Back in old Roman Catholicism, it was brought in Latin. They didn't even understand. The only interpreter of Scripture was the priest.
Amen.
And when King James translated from the Latin and the Greek into the King James English, they began to read for themselves. Someone took up that with them. He's called the Spirit of Truth. This is way beyond tongues. Come on, this is way above. Amen. All of these things. This is the Spirit of Truth. We need him in that in that manifestation of his presence in our life, like we've never needed him. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. That means that doesn't mean visions and dreams, darling. That means when you open up the scriptures, he will show you the truth. Amen. You'll get to see it in the word. There's nothing like seeing it in the word. Can you say amen? If it don't line up with the word, I don't care. I don't care if an angel visited you. I don't care if it was an angel of light. I don't care about the revelations. I don't care about the dreams. I don't care about what God showed you, what God told you. If you can't verify it with the Word of God, I'm to reject you wholesale.
Amen.
It's the very last of the last days. We sat at the table at Bob Evans and we're getting ready to pray for each other's needs and our churches. And I said, you know, right now, all I want is to hear him say when it's all over, well done. And I felt Jesus in Bob Evans. I felt Jesus at that table. We don't wear our suits, by the way. We're not supposed to. Don't wear our sport coats. We're not supposed to. We're not coming there as preachers. I've been around preachers that stay preachers 24/7. Prophets 24/7. Amen. Can you say amen? Yes. They can't even talk about God. They talk about God. Can you say amen? I thought, where'd you learn to say God? We're in the South. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I mean, come on. Quit all that nonsense. Amen. Get real. Quit fronting. Come on. Is it all right to talk? Let's quit fronting. Praise God. I'm not a different person at the funeral when there's 300 people there. Amen. I try to speak from my heart because I'm talking to people about a real God and a real heaven and a real hell. Hallelujah. God is real. So, I remember we were at a pastor's meeting. It's really crazy. We're at a big church. And it was a Pentecostal church, but it was a big Pentecostal church. The pastor had let about 60 pastors meet in a room and to have the pastor's meeting, allow one of their rooms to be used for a pastor's meeting. So, of course, we invited the pastor of the church that let us use the room because we wanted to come in and honor him. We wanted to honor him for allowing us to use the facility because he had no intention of coming to the meeting. I mean, when you get in a big church, you've got big things to do. So, anyway, we just invited him to come in. And he said, I'm not dressed for the occasion. And he didn't say occasion. He said, the occasion. Knew right then. Okay, here we go. This is the thing we're trying to break down. Can you say, man? Every pastor, amen, gets up in the morning and puts on his pants. It's incredible. One leg at a time. Can you say, man? He really does. He shaves the fuzz off his face if he shaves it all. Amen? He gets halitosis before he gets his Tic Tacs out. Amen? Yeah. Amen? His feet stink after two services. Amen? Boy, that guy's after the reward. Watch him. Amen. Oh, she's after the reward. You're just the servant of the lady who's after the reward. After that prophet's reward. Hallelujah. This is the easiest way to get it, believe me. I'd rather give them a drink of water than to be one. Same reward. A lot less skin off your nose. Amen. So he wouldn't come in. But then his ego was appealed to and said, we want to honor you. Well, I guess just for a minute to be honored, I can come in without my... Because he wasn't prepared. He didn't have his entire paraphernalia, which was suit and tie and handkerchief, and to identify him as the head honcho, what in charge. So, and it doesn't mean we dishonor ministry. It's just mean all the rest of us there, and we're asked to wear... You know, maybe a pair of dress slacks and a shirt. I'm going to show you. You know, that he was dressed. He was dressed in dress slacks, dress shoes, and a golf top shirt. That's how he was dressed. No one heard how he was dressed. So I guess this one, amen. One night when I was holding the hand mic, I stomped like that to emphasize a point. I jerked the wire right out of the mic. I never even noticed when the sound went off. I preached for 45 more minutes holding the mic. It was wireless, but it wasn't wireless. You understand? Didn't skip a beat. Didn't bother me at all. The sound went off. I was hollering so loud. Amen. Nobody said anything. They just stood there with them big eyes. And he done pulled the wire out, but ain't even fazed him. We can't even get him to quit when the power goes off. Can you say? He's so into that message. This guy wouldn't come in. He wouldn't come in because he was like this. But we were all like this because we were trying to be men. The guy that leads this organization, he said, to a pastor's daughter, 12 years old, he said, when your daddy, he pointed to the pastor, said, when he, because he knew it was her daddy, he said, when he gets home, what do you tell mom if she's cooking supper? She said, I tell her, daddy's home. Oh, you mean you don't say the Reverend so-and-so is home? No, I tell him, Daddy's home. You mean you don't say, the pastor is here? No, tell him, Daddy's home. Because there's a time to be a daddy to your children, a husband to your wife. And there's a time to be a person. Amen? A real, honest-to-goodness person. Not subhuman, not superhuman, but very human. If you look at the apostles, you see very human people. Paul had a tendency toward pride. And God said, you know, I got to keep you in this place that you're totally dependent on me. So the enemy's going to come against you. I'm going to give you just enough grace to bear it. But I'm not going to eliminate those issues in your life. And Paul recognized it. Boy, you talk about spirituality. He said, lest I be lifted up above measure. What honesty. What an insight into his own self. Lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations that have been given me. He said, the more God uses me, the more he shows me, amen, but the more anointing that flows through me, the more danger I'm in to falling into pride, amen. So these trials and these tests, when I think I'm on top of these, of everything, something comes along to bring me to a place of dependency again. He said, it's okay. I understand, amen, how important it is to be a pure vessel for God to flow through. Can you say amen? It has ruined many fine ministers in the beginning. Can you say amen? That have been lifted up with pride. In fact, God told Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, I made you the king over Israel. Can you say amen? But now your kingdom is going to be taken and given to another little guy. Can you say amen? The least of the sons of Jesse, praise God, was going to be God's choice for a king. Praise the Lord. It's always that way with God. Hallelujah. The teachings today makes everybody a big shot. And this poor guy was so into his ministry and the esteem. But he got in there in his, like the rest of us saw, nobody else is in their suits, in their preacher suits. And he stayed the whole time. Wow. He stayed with us. We couldn't believe it. Can you say, man, that he condescended and decided to be a human being for an hour with other human beings that didn't precede their name with Reverend Bishop, Most Reverend? In fact, when they introduced me, they had my name, and they were showing the slides of the ministries and all. And when they introduced me, they said Reverend Robert A. Venable, pastor of the Most Holy Church of God. So when I came up to speak, I looked back at that sign. I looked at all these preachers looking at me, and I looked back at that sign again. I said, there has to be a correction here. I said, we're not the Most Holy Church of God. We're just the Holy Church of God. Hate to disappoint. We're just striving to be holy these days. I'm not even the right Reverend Robert Venable. It gets confusing, doesn't it, where all of these titles come in. And some people with certain titles put themselves on a plane. And that's why when Jesus, who had a name above every name that is named of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, hallelujah, when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God, Emmanuel, God incarnate, when he got that basin, and he put that towel over his arm, and he got down in front of Peter and took off his sandals and prepared to wash his feet. Praise God. And said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to minister. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, my works are not mine. Amen. My words are not mine. I'm totally dependent on my Father for these things. Can you say amen? Praise God. My works are not my own, but what I see my Father do. My words are not my own, but what I hear my Father say. And when someone looked at him like the rest of the rabbis in their self-righteous self-exaltation, He said, why call it? They said, good master. He said, don't call me good. There's none. It wasn't that he wasn't. It's just that people had men's person in view. They didn't understand the holiness of God. They didn't understand God at all. They worshiped their religion and followed without question the leaders of it, and they were dead wrong. It was man worship. None good but my Father. They looked at him after the flesh. They never saw any further. Paul said, with all those gifts and revelations in 13 to 27 books of the New Testament, in my flesh dwells no good thing. It's him. It's all him. He said, in fact, if I live, then his goodness can't come through. His light can't shine through. It's no more I that live. I'm dead, but I'm alive. And it's no more I that live. See, all of those ambitions, all of those purposes with the ulterior motives, amen, they were gone. Hallelujah. That pride had not sullied him. Hallelujah. It's no more I that live. I'm not living for vainglory. I'm not living for men's applause. I'm not living to get rich and famous. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not living to see whether I'm respected or disrespected. I'm living for one reason, to serve my master. It's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. Can you say amen? And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and called me and gave himself for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Meekness is not weakness. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And our strength is already small. But God adds his strength, not to our strength. But he adds his strength when we confess that without him, we have no might. Amen. And no power. I don't care if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're still to look to him. Amen? Amen? Amen. The Holy Ghost is not supposed to make you independent. I know people that got into terrible trouble after they spoke in tongues. God showed them some things in the Word, used them a little bit. And they lost the humility. They lost the sweetness and the kindness. They became pushy, arrogant, sometimes even rude. They boasted that they had it together and everybody needed what they had. When a man says, behold, I stand, that's self-confidence. Precarious place to be in. He better take heed. I preached long enough to watch them fall over. And some people seem to be the most spiritual people among us. Those that seemed to, well, they presented themselves as qualified to be our teachers. And they fell. Why'd they fall? Because when adversity came, the reality came forth. That if you're not strong in the Lord, you're not strong at all. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? The Bible didn't tell you to be strong in yourself. It said to be strong in the Lord. Amen. The power of his might. And Paul, and I always position myself, if I was at this angle at the Holy Church of God where our platform was, as we close tonight, this is where I came through the ceiling over here. This is where I was up working, and Kathy Young and my wife were in there sitting on the front row in the pew talking to one another while I'm up doing things in the attic. Working on the lights or changing lights. And I stepped on a board. There's a catwalk, and it's a drop ceiling. I mean, you know, all there is the cross pieces. And I remember stepping on the catwalk, and I stepped over on the corner, and one of the boards came loose on the other side and pitched me out into that. And the tips of my fingers got on one, and one ankle was on the other. Now, I'm holding on with fingertips and an ankle. My leg is dangling. Amen. Anybody remember the roof, the ceiling at the old Holy Church of God? This ain't nothing. And from my vantage point, it looked like 1,000 feet. I'm serious. It's like, you know, if somebody robbed me, you know, with a 9mm, and somebody said, what kind of gun was it? I'd say, I don't know, but the muzzle was that big around. That's all I can tell you. Amen. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It just seemed, but I could have been hurt or killed or maimed because I was over those big back chairs is where it fell through with me. And I was looking down and they were up there and I know they started praying. Thank God for intercessors. Everybody say, thank God for intercessors. Praise God. Amen. They were praying and I was hanging up there and I was praying because I knew I can't do this much more. And there's no time for anybody to come up and try to get me. Something has to happen in a hurry because my fingertips, I do not work out my fingers. Amen. My fingertips, that's all there was. And one ankle, and I can't do nothing with that. And they begin to pray, and I begin to pray. And I mean this. I felt, it's like somebody just pushed me. I mean, I'm trying to just hang on. I'm not trying to flip myself back over because I couldn't anyway. There's not enough of me on that to. But I felt this plop, and I'm back over on the catwalk. And every time I come to this scripture, this is not about falling through ceilings, by the way. This is going back into sin. Weak as we are, prone to wonder as our hearts sometime become. Paul said, now unto him. And I remember every time I preached, I pointed to that patch place in that ceiling. I didn't point here or there. I used this hand at that place. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us how we could never present ourselves, faultless. But there's only one able to do that. We can't do it ourselves, but there's one who's able to do it. And Paul said, I haven't attained what he's called me to attain. Amen. I haven't arrived. Praise God. Amen. But he said, I committed all to him. I committed unto him. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I commit unto him against that day. Amen. My victory is going to be because of him, he says. Make no mistake about it. Every victory here now is because of him. His grace, His mercy, His promise to never leave us, His intercession in our behalf. Can you say amen? What a gracious God that we serve. Amen. Brother, would you come? Maybe next week we can talk about some reasons we faint and some things to do when we feel faint-hearted. But now we're just talking about accepting our weakness and trusting in Him for the strength we need and we don't have. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, he directs it to the Lord in this psalm. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. The Lord, not if it's overwhelmed, but when it happens. Amen. Everybody say humans. Amen. Oh, well, all he needed was the Holy Ghost. Tell that to Peter. Then you say amen. Tell it to Paul. They won't buy it. Amen. After the Holy Ghost had come, visions. Listen, Paul didn't get his calling as an unction. He got it from Jesus on the road to Damascus, that he saw his glory and he spoke audibly to him. And down in 1 Corinthians, he said, when we went to preach in Asia, I'm going to tell you about the trouble we had, how we were pressed beyond measure. Thank God. There he is admitting it. Everybody say bad confession. See, he would have never got into that mess if he just had the right confession. If we could just teach him the power of his own words. No, we need to teach him the power of God's word. Amen. 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 Not the power of his words. It's the power of God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Robert's words will abide forever. That's not what my Bible reads. But God's word will abide forever. Hallelujah. It's so important to get it right. Amen. And here's what he said he learned through that trial. We were pressed beyond measure. God said he let it take us all the way to the bottom. And we despaired of life itself that we might learn. What? What is the lesson to be learned? Not to trust in ourselves. This is an anointed man. This is an appointed man. This is a man that has revelations. And he said, I don't trust me. I trust him. Can you say, man, glory be to God, that we might not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who does what? Who raises the dead. Who has that kind of power to give us and to offer us and that kind of grace to give it. What a mighty God we do serve. You still have that disc from this morning. Will you please put on number two? How many want to be faithful and not faint? The Bible said that we shouldn't be weary, and this comes back to me all the time. I preach this and it just reverberates back to me. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall receive a reward, the reward, if you faint not. Can you say amen? I can't say I've never been faint-hearted, but I can say that He has always lifted me up. When I went to Him in sincerity and said, Lord, I don't want to fail You. I'm not trying to keep a reputation. I just want to be faithful. And I want Your reputation to be known. What a great and good and mighty God that You serve, that we serve. Amen? Amen. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stay committed to look to Him. And let's stay committed to help one another along this journey because we need each other. Can you say amen? Bring that right up. Let's worship Him in this song as we close. Bring it right up. Bring it right up. Bring it right up. Thank you, Jesus.